Hey, Sharon here. Want to know how to offer a service process that meets your clients' needs and that's scalable so it can grow with your clients and your practice? If so, then you're going to want to listen to this. This is lesson 3 of a special 3-part training series where I'm sharing the secrets to closing more business and scaling your 401k practice. I want you to go to 401kbestpracticelab.com/free-training-workshop because there you'll be able to download the workshop and templates for this special lesson. The only thing that's required is that you enter your email address so I can send you the material. Again, go to 401kbestpracticelab.com/free/training/workshop. You can watch the video of this lesson as I walk through the slides and get all the downloads and templates as well. The special edition of this podcast will disappear on March 24th, so head to the website, get your downloads, and get ready for some pretty cool stuff. And let me repeat that address one more time, 401kbestpracticelab.com/free-training-workshop. We'll see you there.
Welcome to the Ask the 401k Experts podcast, where you get strategies, resources, and best practices for growing a successful and compliant 401k practice. And now, here's your host, Sharon Pivirotto.
Hey there, Sharon here, and welcome to the free 3-part training where I'm sharing with you the secrets to closing more business and scaling your 401k practice. If you're ready to hear some service strategies that will help you scale your 401k practice, then you're in the right place. When I started in the industry almost 25 years ago, there were not a lot of advisors that had a consistent, repeatable, scalable service model. That's one of the reasons I created the 401k Service Solution set of practice management resources way back then. That's long been out of circulation, but in this lesson, I want to share with you how to create a service process that can scale with your clients as they grow in size. Now, if you've been in the 401k industry for years, you probably by now already have something like that. I still think you'll get a lot of good ideas from this lesson on how to use that in your positioning and maybe even for lead generation. And if you're just starting out or working through how to implement a more solid process, this lesson could be golden for you. Before I dive in, I want to say thanks for watching. I know there's a lot going on right now, and I hope that this series is beneficial for you as you look beyond the next few weeks and months and figure out how to meet the needs of today and plan for the needs of tomorrow, both yours and your clients. I also really appreciate the emails you've been sending. It is really heartwarming to hear your feedback and how you plan to use this material, so thank you for that, and please keep it coming. Now, if you missed the first 2 lessons in the series, I highly recommend you stop right now and go watch them. They really are required viewing for anyone who wants to find ways to stand out above the noise right now, how to differentiate yourself, and how to offer value as an expert and educator. I want you to get the full value from this workshop, so you really should go watch those lessons in order. Don't worry, I'll be waiting for you. You can find the links right above this video. In that first lesson, I covered how you can set yourself apart from your competition and build trust and credibility and authority with a super simple formula that's proven to close more business. I even gave you my winning pitch book template. In the second lesson, I share how easy it is for you to go from a 401k sales professional to a 401k educator, raising your value and trust level with your prospects and clients. And in lesson 2, I gave you 17 different email examples you can swipe and share with your plan sponsors, and a completely editable slide deck. If you want to provide some plan sponsor best practice training, you really want to go check those out and find ways to incorporate them into your prospecting and service offering. Now, today I want to show you how to solve the problem of trying to implement a one-size-fits-all service model. We know plan sponsors don't have or want to take the time to engage in a full-out, quarterly, solid service process. And we know if you don't offer that to your larger plans, you run the risk of losing them to the advisor that comes in and addresses things you're not doing or didn't think your plan sponsor had an interest in hearing or taking the time to do. So in this lesson, we're going to talk about how to offer a process that meets your client's needs and meets minimum standards across all plan sizes, one that's scalable and allows you to offer the appropriate amount of service for the plan size and revenue coming in. Once you have that in place, you can stop wasting valuable resources trying to get small plans to engage fully and offer tremendous value that helps bulletproof your book as your plans grow in size and complexity. Once you have that, you'll find you can rest easier knowing all plans are taken care of appropriately. If you haven't already, want to download the handouts below this lesson's video. You'll find the Lesson 3 workbook, as well as the service model strategy guide and templates. In order to implement a process that's scalable, here are some basic steps to take and incorporate. First, I want you to understand that no matter the plan size, there are some basic things that all plans need. All plans should have their goals and objectives clearly defined. Fiduciary responsibilities defined, understood, and acknowledged in writing. A written investment policy, periodic investment monitoring documented, periodic review and benchmarking of service providers, as well as a participant success program in place, a plan compliance file centralized, proactive service model in place. That might sound like a lot, but really, it's not. It's just kind of a minimum service model you want to have, whether you have a startup plan, a large plan. It really comes down to just these basic things right here: an investment policy statement, plan compliance file, benchmarking every 3 years, sending out quarterly investment review reports, adding in an educational component when you send that quarterly communications piece, and then doing that annual review and annual employee education. So when you look at it that way, it really doesn't look like that much, right? I want you to simplify your service model by, regardless of plan size, all clients are put on a quarterly schedule and they get the same baseline set of information. So for some, maybe it's emailed, others it's discussed in person. Quarterly investment reports, every plan gets it. An educational topic piece, every plan gets it. Annual review, same quarter for all plans, makes it real easy because every quarter you're offering the same topic for every plan. Here's what that looks like based on the plan size. Remember, as the plan size increases, basically so does the frequency of communication, level of detail you're providing, and the amount of time involved. So when we look at the small plan market, they can define their goals and objectives in that investment policy statement. They can define the roles and responsibilities in that investment policy statement. The educational piece you might give them is that DOL guide, meeting your fiduciary responsibilities. That's a great piece to give them. That or prudent practices for investment stewards. On the investment side, give them an investment policy statement that's got those things in it. Send them out their quarterly reports. Do the benchmarking every 3 years. On the participant side, support them with the required disclosures and have that annual group meeting. If you want to offer individual meetings, that a lot of most advisors do that. And then on the compliance side, an annual plan review and their compliance file set up. So this is just kind of a graphical way to say what I just said on the last couple slides. But basically, as the plans grow, what you're doing is you're formalizing the documentation and education, and you're increasing the contact. You're increasing the amount of contact that you have. So as we move up to the next size plan, maybe you want a separate worksheet where you go into goals and objectives in more detail. You have a fiduciary identification worksheet where you help them understand the different roles of all of the parties involved, who's a fiduciary and who's not. You add a formal education component on the fiduciary side. Maybe you add participant readiness reports or custom communication program. You give them a binder or a flash drive with their compliance file documents that you scanned in for them. And you just add more communication. So as you move up to the medium plan market, those are going to be the things that you'll include that you don't do for your startup plans. Startup plans don't need this, they don't want this. But if you want to stay competitive, as your plans get larger and the plan sponsors understand that their risk also gets larger and that they need to take a more serious and strategic approach to managing their plan, here's an example then of how you would do that. And these things I just kind of went over on the last slide, what we add in these different areas. And again, we keep moving up to a larger plan. Maybe as you're in the large plan market, that's when you want to formalize the committee, bylaws, meeting minutes, conflict of interest policy, all of that. You want to create an education policy statement. Maybe at this point you want to have an independent cafe done or a Dow bar assessment of the plan, so you have that in the file every 3 years. meet quarterly with the committee. Oftentimes in the larger plan markets, plan sponsors want to meet more frequently than that. Offer one-on-one or education on the participant side quarterly instead of just at the annual meeting. So all of these different bullet points I'm putting in here are things for you to consider layering on your service model as your plan size gets bigger. As you move up market, these are things that plan sponsors have come to want and expect that help you add a layer of protection to your service model and a layer of value to what you're offering. So in the large plan market, the things that I just described on the last slide, this is kind of what that looks like, right? So you've got an internal fiduciary worksheet, a formal fiduciary training, committee formalization documents, custom IPS, you review their quarterly reports in person. Maybe even at this point, your plan sponsors want monthly year-to-date returns. You review individual service providers annually. You do an annual readiness report, an education policy statement, maybe even a plan optimization report every 2 years. So there's a lot of things you can layer onto your service models as you move up market. But I just want you to go back to remembering this key point. At a minimum, these are the things all plans should have. All plans, regardless of plan size. And even if you're working in the small plan market, if you're not offering them all those other things, you need to let them know what else you do offer and that you'll add as the plan grows and the needs change. They need to know that those are options they can turn to you for. Otherwise, your competition might make it a good selling point of the things that they do for their larger plans that your plan sponsor didn't even know that you offered. Something to think about, right? And here's how you kind of explain that or sell that in your pitch book. It's really about setting expectations. You can do it in the form of a graphic like this, and you say, here's what to expect every quarter. These are the topics we're going to cover. You could, you know, make it a little bit more detailed and say, here, every quarter, here are the things we're going to do. And as you're, obviously, this is as your plan size moves up, you pretty much add more bullet points under each of these quarterly topics. And another example of a graphic view of how to explain what plan sponsors should expect over the course of a year. And this is just an example of a calendar view of how you might put that. This is going to be in the small plan market. There's not a whole lot there. Every quarter you're going to get something. Maybe even 4 times a year you also have an e-newsletter that you send from your broker dealer or something. As your plans get larger, you add more to that calendar. Again, it's about setting expectations and letting them visually see what they're going to expect. And this is just an example of a timeline view where you say in December, we're going to develop your education policy statement. We're going to formalize your program. We're going to review last year's program, formalize it for the next year. You know, every quarter we'll have a group meeting and offer individual meetings. This is just another example of how to set expectations and explain your service model. Whatever service model you decide to put in place, depending on the market that you're in. And you might have three different service models if you service 3 different size plans, but they should all have those baseline set of services, right? Really, it is kind of about setting expectations, and I would encourage you to package up your overall process into a unique, what we call a unique process. This is where we talk about naming your service process. 6-step plan management process isn't really a good name. The 401k service solution is what we called our process when I was an active 401k advisor. Having a visual like this that goes on your website, something like this, tells people what your service process looks like. The graphics on the previous slides explains in a finals presentation or when you're face to face or clients want to know what prospects want to know what to expect. That's where the nitty-gritty is of every quarter you should expect this from us. Make sense? I have a video on how to think about creating your own unique service process like this. If you want me to send you a link to that video, just go down to that little chat bubble below in the lower right-hand corner and type in, may I please have the link? And I'll drop the link in there for you. It might not be instantaneously. That's actually a live chat bubble with me on the other end, so bear with me. But I will link that to you. So now, here's how you resell that. Even after you close a plan, you must always be reselling your value. I think in a lot of cases, if you ask plan sponsors what you do for them, they couldn't necessarily articulate it. They couldn't list out all of the things that you offer for them. And you want them to know what you do because you provide a lot of value, especially a lot of value behind the scenes. And it helps you in continually reinforcing the value you bring to the table. And here's how you do that. Every year, you could even send this every quarter, but at least every year at the annual plan review meeting, you want to provide a summary of services. It's not hard to do. You simply list out all of the key areas in your service process and all of the little detailed things that you provided. Maybe you say, we reviewed best fit providers. We assisted in identifying a new provider for your plan. We quarterbacked that provider change process. We documented a services and expense comparison. We provided the following educational content, a 408b2 fact sheet. On the participant side, we ran a baseline participant assessment report. We assisted in the development of an employee education policy. We developed a timeline for your participant education for the upcoming year. Conducted an initial enrollment meeting. We provided for distribution a sample 404c notice for you. Whatever you're offering, make sure you include it. And I would challenge you, if you are struggling to come up with a list of more than 10 bullet points on the value that you provided over the course of the year, perhaps it's time to reevaluate your service model and see what else you could add that's going to enhance that relationship and add more value. Education can you provide? How can you move the needle on the participant side? How many participant meetings can you have one-on-one? Make sure you add the participant stuff in there too. How many people you met with one-on-one, how many increased their allocation, changed their allocation, increased their deferral amount. All of that should be included on your report. Okay? And here's how you used your service process then as a possible way to get more leads. You can give away a component of your process, like the compliance file checklist, and include your complete service model and a call to action. So some things that you want to think about when you want to give something away online in exchange for an email address, whether even it's on your LinkedIn profile, however you choose to give it away. One, it needs to be easily consumable. You don't want to give away a 200-page report or a 100-page ebook, something that they're going to be able to take and within 10-15 minutes have a really important takeaway. It gives them a quick win. It solves a frequently asked question, a common challenge. Has a high perceived value because it answers a burning question or solves a need. And it sets the buying criteria. It doesn't have to have all of these bullet points on here to qualify, but as many as you can, right? And when I talk about setting the buying criteria, here's an example. If you're a 338 fiduciary, if you had a free comparison report, the pros and cons, or the difference between a 321 and a 338, what you should know, that sets the buying criteria because most of the information in there about how 338 actually takes liability and relieves the plan sponsor of legal liability for the investment selection and monitoring, that helps sell your services kind of not so much subliminal, but that's what we call setting the buying criteria. When you're providing or publishing information that tells them why the services you offer are important. So I hope that makes sense. And here's some examples. A compliance or audit file checklist. That's part of your service model where you've got a compliance file set up for all of your clients. What should be in that? And maybe how you position that is, what will the IRS or DOL ask for in the case of an audit? Or how do you prepare for an audit? If you don't know, we have a simple checklist that's got everything you need to have easily ready to hand off when asked. Another example would be a worksheet on how to identify fiduciaries. Who are all the different parties involved in the plan and which ones actually have liability and responsibility? That might be a great lead-in to get somebody or a hook to get somebody to want to download that. And then another one might be the investment committee starter kit. And anytime you give away something on your website, if you have an opportunity, you want to put your service process in there on the last page, information about your firm and your service process, and a call to action. Contact us for more information. contact us if you don't have these documents in your compliance file. I hope that makes sense. If you didn't, and by this point, I'm pretty sure you probably did, but if you didn't, make sure you download those handouts. I'm giving you the service model explanation graphics, or you could say service model expectation graphics, because they're how you let plan sponsors know what to expect when they hire you. Now I want to just go over some common objections or maybe misconceptions of what I hear in the industry. A lot of you in the really small plan micro market say, this is just too much. My plan sponsors, they don't want this. I would encourage you to go back and just look at that minimum baseline list. There's like 6 things on it. That's it. And ERISA doesn't discriminate based on plan size. It doesn't matter how many participants, you know, how much assets there are. They still have to meet the same requirements. I understand business owners are willing to take more risk. By nature, business owners are way less risk adverse than most people. But I would encourage you to be the parent, right? Be the guide. Make them eat their vegetables. Be the trusted partner. We all have that one friend or even a business associate who we know is not going to sugarcoat things. If we ask for the truth, some people might tell us what they think we want to hear, but we highly value the opinion of the person that just tells us the truth. So be the guide, the trusted partner, tell them these things are important and why, and encourage them to at least have on file the minimum set of standards. Remember too, they're not always going to be a small plan. Small plans grow into bigger plans, and the competition will sell services you're not offering or telling them about, which is why you always want to revisit and resell your services throughout the year. And let them know about services that they're not necessarily engaged in, because at some point they might choose to want to learn more and get those services on their plan. Here's another one. Doesn't everyone else already do all this? You would be surprised. As you move up market, yes, you will be competing with other teams' service model for sure. And they all are offering investments and fiduciary and plan design and all of that. That's why I would say you want to package your process into a unique process as your kind of first selling point. You want to be the educator and expert and keep in touch with them on a regular basis. And you always want to be building that relationship. You always want to be reselling your value. You always want to set appropriate expectations and then do what you say you're going to do. And that's how you bulletproof your book. Make sense? And the last one is, a lot of people say, but I don't offer this, or I don't offer that, or I don't want to do this. It's find people you can partner with. There's a lot of advisors or firms out there that'll take on 338, that'll take on plan administrator, that'll take on even 321 American funds. You can get American funds to be the 321. I'm just saying, find people you can partner with if you don't want to offer that minimum baseline set of services. But here's what I would recommend. I would recommend you start adding more services if you want to move up market. Start adding more, because your plans will grow and they'll need more from you, and you'll need to be able to offer this more robust service model if you're going to stay competitive and stay relevant. That was a lot. We covered a lot in those 3 lessons. I hope you got a lot of value from them. I can't tell you how much I enjoy hearing the excitement and the ahas many of you have shared with me. That's why I put together this training series. It's been both fun and rewarding to share the lessons with you, and getting the feedback and questions from advisors, both on the live chat bubble, which is really a direct line to me. That's been really fun. And in the emails you've sent in. I've been getting great comments, and I love the engagement and community it's created. I know these 3 lessons have already made a big impact on a lot of people who have been commenting and emailing in. Maybe it's even helped you. I hope so. The biggest thing I hear people saying is how much the templates have helped, how it makes it so much easier to visualize or be able to implement what we've been talking about in this training series. If you're interested in finding more ways to differentiate yourself, to keep in touch with prospects, to offer tremendous value to plan sponsors and to prospects, I created an entire library of templates and resources just like this that'll be available to you soon. Next week, actually, I'll be officially opening the 401k Business in a Box Vault, where you'll be able to pick and choose from specific kits to help you with specific marketing or service challenges. Or you can even subscribe to the entire vault where you'll get all the kits plus a new kit each month. When it first opens, I'll also have some pretty cool bonuses for you for those who join early. But I'll have a lot of details about the 401k business in a box and how you can access those done-for-you templates next week. So look for that. In the meantime, I have a special surprise for you. On Tuesday, I wanted to do something extra special. I know that by far the biggest question I get has to do with prospecting. How to get in front of more prospects. What to say. How to build that relationship so when they're ready to get help, they look to you to help them. So Tuesday at noon Eastern, I'm going to be releasing a special bonus lesson on 401k prospecting and conversion. At the end of that bonus lesson is when I'll officially open the 401k Business in a Box library, and I'll give you all the details so you can determine if it's something you want to leverage in your business. But in the meantime, I'd love to hear what you think of the service model strategies and how you plan to use them. In that chat bubble in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, that is a direct line to me. Let me know or shoot me a quick email even at Sharon@401kbestpractices.com. I have been reading every comment and email and responding to dozens of them, and I would love to hear from you. That's it. I'll see you on Tuesday. If you want more resources, strategies, and best practices for growing a successful 401k practice, be sure to subscribe to the Ask the Experts podcast in iTunes so you don't miss out on new ideas from future conversations. Then be sure to visit the main site, 401kbestpractices.com. When you enter your email address to join the 401k Best Practice community, you'll get access to my most advanced strategies and resources to grow and protect your 401k business. Again, that's 401kbestpractices.com.